So this is normally the part of our Good Friday remembrance where we take the Lord's Supper. And typically, we let that speak for itself. And rather than having a message or a sermon, we just let scripture and song deliver the message. And usually tonight crescendos into communion, which is a powerful way of saying that we are together, we're the body of Christ, and Christ Jesus himself suffered and died for us out of love for us. Like, that is what we normally do. But these are not normal times. And I think that for now, after consulting with some other Reformed church leaders, we're better off theologically and practically just waiting to take the Lord's Supper until it can again be communion with our community gathered here in person, because we are, right now we're apart. You all are in your homes. We have, honestly, we have things to worry about. And to be honest, I don't want to speculate too much about where your head is, but let me say this. Right now, if you're worried about what's going on, if you're worried about the future, well, you are not unlike everyone else in the story of Good Friday on that night who didn't know what the future holds. And here's the thing. When most people don't know, you know what most of us do? Actually, I don't know about you. Let me tell you what I do. I get glued to the news. And I confess, I've been almost obsessively connecting with the numbers and the data, trying to watch the curve flatten. And my hope has become that this will end soon based on all the data. And I've just been obsessed with this stuff, with the news, the latest developments, the statistics, the trends, looking for hope in the data. And in the last day or two, God has just been telling me something. And let me just say, dear brothers and sisters, maybe I shouldn't be looking for our safety or our doom in numbers or statistics or risk profiles. One of my professors at Westminster wrote about this, and it sort of just snapped me out of it today. He points out what you already know. And if the first followers of Christ looked for safety or doom in the numbers or in the expectations, or if the first disciples were affixed to what looked like reality on the very first Good Friday, they would have no hope at all. They would have very little confidence, and they would be rightly ruled by fear. But one of the things that God does in Scripture so well is to turn our gaze somewhere else. Like read what Scripture says. Read with me what faith tells us. These are some things that would have helped those first disciples. And I am convinced that they might help us today. Think about verses like this. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Like, think about that. Or think about Psalm 120. For our help. Look at that. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Or Psalm 139, all the days are ordained for me. They were written in your book before one of them came to be. Proverbs 16, the lot is cast into the lap. In other words, like, you may think you're rolling dice. It may seem like chance and randomness. But Proverbs says something that is hard to understand. It's every decision is from the Lord. Or Jesus in Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Or Romans 8:28, for we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Or Colossians 1, and he's talking, of course, about the risen Christ. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Or Hebrews 1, I love this. He, this is talking about Jesus Christ the Son, He is the radiance of the hope of glory and the exact resemblance of His nature, and He holds the universe. Like think about that phrase. He upholds the universe. Like our God holds things together by the word of His power. And I know, it's Good Friday, and I'm skipping ahead, I'm spoiling things a bit, but I almost can't help thinking through this. Maybe it's just what my soul needs to hear. And I know, we can't move through the Passion Week too quickly, but this is true. Think about these words. Let these words soak into your soul. People of faith, we don't live by probabilities or chance. We're not just lucky or experiencing serendipity. This is true about you. We live every single day under the loving, wise, sovereign rule of our Creator and Redeemer God. And the result of that is hope, which steers clear of both naive optimism and resigned pessimism. You know, the year that I graduated from seminary, one of my dear professors, Al Groves, was fighting through his diagnosis with cancer. And it just struck all of us. And he went to the best doctors he could find, and the doctors quoted him a 85% chance, 5-year survival rate with treatment, which he took. And I remember him talking about it, and he said, I don't know about those numbers, 85%. He said, I'd say my odds are either 100% or 0%. And he said, it was real. Like he's talking about, like he's looking down the face of death. And I remember him saying, if the Lord wills, I'll be here in 5 years. If not, he said, I'll be with Him in 5 years. And rather than putting his hope in a relatively encouraging 85%, focusing on the still substantial 15% risk, he entrusted himself 100% to the one who would keep him safe, body and soul, no matter what was to come. You know, I think a lot about what the Reformed Church teaches based on Scripture. Like, think about the Heidelberg Catechism Q&A 27. And, you know, I need to hear this right now. And maybe it'll reassure you as well. The question is, 27, is what do you understand by the providence of God? And the Catechism says, providence is... And this is actually super relevant right now. If you feel like everything's falling apart, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, which He upholds as with His hands, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us. Not by chance. It's not serendipity, but it is from His fatherly hand. Nothing is by chance, the Catechism says, from Scripture. In fact, the tragedy of Good Friday, it was all part of God's plan. In fact, everything in your life right now, it all comes to us by our Father's loving and wise hands. Another one of my mentors has been saying, like I love this, we didn't pick this pandemic, but God chose you to live at this point in history, this time, in these dark times. This is really true. Maybe God is calling you as a person or us as a church to stand up and shine the hope of Jesus brighter than ever before. Don't live in these trying times unduly focused on impersonal probabilities, statistics, charts, or the news. Like, this is not a good foundation for true hope and reassurance. Like, I mean, sure, watch the news, follow the guidance of the government, health officials, and all that, but don't forget to look toward your faithful and loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who holds you in the palm of his hand. And look to Jesus, whose nail-pierced hands are evidence both of the fact that God's profound love for you and of the truth that God's providence is bigger than our greatest fears, and recognizing that God can be trusted in good and in bad times. This is the news that we need to hear when we feel like we're living through Good Friday. So Father in heaven, can you bless your word to us? Even as we think about going through the valley of the shadow of death, can you help us to fear no evil? Because ultimately we recognize that you are with us. Father, I pray against this pandemic. Can you defeat the coronavirus? Can you bring us back to you in all this? Be with our country, be with those who are sick, be with those who are in healthcare, be with those who are worried about the economy and jobs. Father, can you give us a resurrection that makes us all pause as a culture, as a country, as a globe, and give you thanks? Father, in these dark times, we pray for resurrection. And we hope and expect for you to rise again. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.